Hello, everybody, and welcome to the fifth meeting of 2026 of the Breaking Blindness Barriers Discussion Group. This is a group where we get together to talk about and help each other with strategies that are all aimed at breaking and demolishing the barriers that get in the way of us who are blind and low vision from living full, productive, independent, and just overall happy lives. So the more we can get rid of those, the better that we all are. And that's what we're here to do. So that's our aim, and that's all of our topics are aimed toward that goal. My name is Julian Vargas, and my website is www.techjv.com. That's www.techjv as in John, V as in Victor.com. And if you want to reach me by phone, that's 818-794-9554. I want to thank the folks at the Audio Internet Reading Service of Los Angeles, AIRS LA, for making this podcast possible so that those who can't attend or who are out of our area can still benefit from the information that we share here. Donations are accepted by both myself and AIRS LA to help offset expenses. If you want to know more about how to do that, please contact me, through my contact channels, and we'll get that figured out. So normally this is where we would have announcements, but again, we haven't had any to give now, so we're just going to go past that, and we're going to go right into our main presentation, and that is introducing the first accessible POC radios. This is a story of how a little conversation resulted in some big barrier breaking. So the discussion is going to be in three parts, just to let you all know and to follow along more easily. The first part is going to be what is POC radio? How the blindness barrier was broken is part number two. And three is what does Simple PTT, which is where our guests are from today, what does Simple PTT, the platform, offer and why you may want to get in on it? There will be brief question and answers and comments and things like that taken after each section, but we ask that those be kept specifically dealing with the things that were discussed in that respective session. There will be general Q&A afterward. So, without further ado, we're going to start with our first part here. What is POC radio? POC radio is a type of radio that doesn't work like traditional two-way radios. In other words, traditional two-way radios, you have a radio that, walkie-talkie or mobile radio that is connected to an antenna and puts out some power and either talks to other radios that are within range or utilize repeater stations that are located on building tops and mountain tops to facilitate communication over greater distances. This is using the cellular network. So, much like your smartphones today connect to the internet. And to make and receive calls through one of the carriers like T-Mobile, AT&T, or Verizon, these radios connect the same way. So think of it as a modern day version of Nextel. I'm sure a lot of you remember those radios from back in the early 2000s when they were very popular. That's how they worked. That was basically the early version of push-to-talk over cellular, which is what PLC stands for, by the way, if I didn't say that earlier. Push-to-talk over cellular. And it's has evolved and is now used by many different companies that offer these same type of services, PLC radio companies. So that's my brief overview of what I think are POC radios. I'm going to introduce our guests now, which are Scott, Will, and Jed. They are all part of a company called Simple PTT. So I'm going to throw it to you guys and ask, is there anything I left out of the explanation of what POC radio is?
Yeah, Julian, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So the one thing is that was all dead on. And what makes it a little bit different is the fact that there are a lot of companies that use a modern technology, which is for the tri-band SIM cards. So one of the reasons that POC will work where your phone won't work sometimes is because of the fact that it runs on Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile at any given time. So it has fast switchover between the networks too. So if you're going down the road and you're on Verizon on your phone, but the Verizon towers go out, it'll jump on to T-Mobile or AT&T. So that's where you'll get, sometimes you'll get better service on a walkie-talkie, a POC walkie-talkie, than you would with a phone. Not all the companies do that, but we do. And that's one reason that POC sometimes will work a little bit better than your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've all been there where we're in some place and suddenly your phone doesn't work, but your friend's phone does. And you're thinking, wait, what's going on? Their phone works, mine doesn't. Chances are you're on different carriers, and where your carrier may have a dead spot there, your friend's carrier may have a tower right nearby, so they cover it. So the beauty of this type of communication is that it's leveraging the power of all three of the major carriers in the U.S., and whichever one it receives better, that's the one it's going to go on. So pretty cool. Who is using POC? Well, really anybody can, because the other nice thing about POC radio is that unlike amateur radio or even GMRS or things like that, there is no license requirement. You know, with amateur radio, you get your license by testing into it, by showing a certain knowledge and proficiency of the radio hobby. With GMRS, General Mobile Radio Service, that is a license that you pay for. There's no testing, but you pay for a license every 10 years, and yes, it covers you and your immediate family. But again, you have to go through that hoop of getting a license. With POC radio, that's not the case. You buy the radio, you turn it on, you start talking. It's real simple, hence the name of the company, Simple PTT. So you might ask, well, I have a cell phone. Why would I want to use this thing? Well, it's quick and easy. You could almost say it's instant communication between two people. You know, if you want to make a phone call to somebody, you have to take out your phone. You have to unlock your screen. You have to open the phone app. And you got to dial the number, look it up in contact, whatever. Or yeah, nowadays you can tell your smart assistant built in to make that call. And if you're lucky, it'll hear what you're saying and won't call somebody else in your contact list, which is why I personally don't use that method very much, because it will fail you. So there's a lot more involved in communicating between two people if you're just using cell phones. With a POC radio, you turn the radio on. If you're both on the same channel, you just call out, "Hey, Scott, you there?" And Scott responds. That's it. And we can go back and forth. And it's not a full duplex communication. So, you know, it's like I push the button as I'm talking and I let go. And then Scott pushes the button. He talks and I listen. So that's how it works. But it's real simple and easy. And sometimes I prefer it. And I say this, of course, as a longtime amateur radio operator. So I just have a love for this kind of communication. But it's just overall easier sometimes than to have to take out a phone and make a call. So what is Simple PTT? I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to my special guests, because they are the owners and people who run this company. And who better to tell us who Simple PTT is than those guys? So, Scott, Will, Jed, any of you want to take that one?
Oh, I guess I'll give you a little background and then let Will jump in and then pass it over to Jed. So Simple PTT was formed as just a Facebook group a couple years back. And Will and I were very close from the very beginning, and we've been through a lot. We set it up as just a way for different forms of communication to come to one Facebook group and learn from each other. Well, that turned into, hey, let's mess around with POC radio. We started a very large Zello channel. And then we went through and helped manage another company and then went off on our own for a couple different platforms. Now we finally settled on using Simple PTT, and it's just blossomed from here. We keep everything highly, highly moderated so that there's no nonsense on the platform. We, you know, Will has taken over part of the company as well. He does all the back end work, and he does a fantastic job with everything. That frees me up more time to work on, well, what Jed will talk about later, how that happened, but, you know, frees me up to do more things. So Simple PTT is just a great community of radio enthusiasts or just general people that want to jump into a conversation with, you know, over 1,650 other people, or they might have private channels that they could go and talk to just their family on. So, but we do have all types of different roundtables and nets 7 nights a week. Prayer channel. I mean, we've got so much for people to do, and that's what our focus is on, is for the people. So, and Will jumped in and took the helm, and he's done a really good job. And I'll pass to him, and then Jed, I'll tell you, well, you're going to bring in how that all formed. So I'll pass it to Will. Let Will tell you a little bit about how he stuck with me the whole time and where we're at now.
Okay. Let me just briefly say that we're going to definitely get into the content that you guys offer in the later section of what a Simple PTT offers. So, you know, if you want to just more focus it more on just, you know, how it got started and all that stuff, you know, how it works, that's probably better for this section.
Okay. Will?
Yeah. Thank you, Chuck and Julian. Thank you for having us on. It's a great pleasure. Yeah, it's like Scott said, you know, we formed about a couple of years ago, and actually I think we'll be hitting our 2-year anniversary around end of October, beginning of November. But you know, everything Scott has stated, I mean, it's been our vision just to get people together with the, you know, the radio communications and stuff. It's just, it has been a great ride. I can say that much. You know, I don't think POC was even in the thought when Scott created his Facebook group, but now POC is just everywhere. And you know, I really don't have much more to say other than what Scott had already said. I mean, he pretty much nailed everything, just pretty much there.
All right, awesome. Chad, anything you want to add?
Hey, Julian, and thanks for having us on as well. This is great. So, you know, if it's okay, I'll give you my quick 30-second background as far as POC. You want me to get into that? You know, tell the quick
story.
Yeah, go
ahead. Again?
Yeah. So to give the rest of you folks a little bit of a knowledge. So I've been around radio, well, basically since I could walk. I worked in public safety and 911 for over 30 years. That's what I did. Got out of that a few years ago, but still love radio, still involved in almost every aspect you can think of, even did broadcast for a while. But POC has really been something that I love. I got into it. Back in the Nextel days is when it really started, but this latest edition of POC, I've been into it probably for about 10 years. Like the rest of these guys, had a couple different platforms. And, you know, my first reaction when I got into POC was, you know, when I first got a radio, I was like, what am I going to need this for? Well, let me tell you what, it has turned into a daily use of a radio that I never ever could have imagined. It's fantastic from the perspective of so many uses for it, and you know, to see it blossom the way it has. I mean, it used to be just, you know, you had a radio, you had a talk group, two or three of your friends or people you work with or whatever. I mean, that's what it was. And this thing literally over the last year or two in general has just exploded. So to see that happen, I mean, we haven't even hit the warm-up switch yet. This is, you know, I think this thing is really going to take off in the coming years in general.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I'm so happy to be along for the ride. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks guys. That certainly gives us a brief overview of what Simple PTT is. And like I said, in the third section of our discussion, we're going to get really more in depth with what the platform actually offers and why it's so much fun to be part of it and why you guys might want to join us. So before I go to the next section, which is the meat of the conversation, how the barrier was broken for accessibility vis-a-vis blindness. I'm going to open it up real briefly to some Q&A that's related to what was just discussed, because we're going to talk about other things as well. So if you have questions about that were not related to that, we ask that you hold them because there will be general Q&A after all the presentation is done. So if anybody has any questions about what is POC radio and what is simple PTT and how does that work, please, again, either raise your hand or say your name. The floor is now open. Anybody? Maybe not. I hear somebody's background, so I don't know if somebody's wanting to speak. Okay. All right. So since we don't have any, that means that we did a really good job explaining or putting people to sleep. Either way, we were successful at something. So let's go ahead and to talk about the section two here, how the blindness barrier got broken, because that's very important. And again, that relates directly with what we're all about here at the Breaking Blindness Barriers discussion group. This breaking of the barrier resulted in the very first accessible PLC radio that's available out there. So I would like to throw the floor to Jed and Scott and Will to talk about this. I'd like Jed, in a sense, to take the lead. Since tell us how you got this discussion going. Take us how it started and where we are now in terms of getting that accessibility barrier broken.
Well, thanks, Julian. Yeah, this was, you know, kind of a funny story, and actually sort of happened. I got to be honest, it basically happened purely by accident. But it was one of the best things that could have ever happened. So one of my best friends, my buddy Roger, we were talking one day, and he told me about Simple PTT. And I said, hey, this is kind of cool. You know, I'm a technology geek like the rest of us. You know, I mean, I was already on a couple of POC platforms anyway. I said, let me reach out to these guys and, you know, see what's cooking. So I will never forget it. I was out and about. My buddy and I were working on our antique fire truck, and we were, it was sort of a cold, you know, wet afternoon. And Scott called me, and that resulted in a 2 hour long conversation. And it was probably one of the best conversations I've had with anybody in a long time, and has resulted in many more. And I told him a little bit about, you know, being visually impaired and radios and, you know, in general. And, you know, one of the, you know, I was asking him, you know, very, you know, specific things about the radios, you know, in terms of talk group navigation, the layout, that kind of stuff. And it resulted in, I mean, honestly, I've worked on a lot of accessibility stuff. Probably the biggest accessibility breakthrough in such a short amount of time that I never could have imagined. And he took it to heart. And the rest, as they say, is history. So, I don't know, Scott, why don't you elaborate on that? Because we got into some pretty geeky stuff the first time we talked, and, you know, here we are now.
Yeah. So, and I'm sitting there giggling because it was so crazy and funny how it happened. And I will never forget that call. That was one of the greatest calls I've ever had. I basically, you know, we talked for a little bit, and we started realizing that we're kind of both a little bit nerdy in the POC. And, you know, he was talking about, oh, we, you know, it'd be great to have a radio that is accessible, you know, that we can use. And so I took it, like he said, I took it to heart. And if I'm not mistaken, it was less than 3 weeks. And I said, Jed, let me send you a radio. So I worked with my, you know, my suppliers to get, you know, firmware that was going to work and accessible. And at the time, I didn't even know what accessibility meant. So I was very ignorant to that, but Jed was very, very, you know, he spoke to me slowly and cautiously about explaining everything where it made sense. So I took everything that he told me, and I went to, my producers and suppliers, and I said, here's what I need. And, I sent Jed a radio, and you know, I didn't put it out there for anybody yet. And he said, "This will work." And I said, "Well, let's do it then." And then it just blossomed from there. And we talked more about it, you know, after, you know, when we get to the third part. But the one of the funniest conversations, you know, he challenged me, and I like a good challenge. And, you know, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. That's where I became involved, because one day I'm reading the email list. I belong to all kinds of email lists, including one called Blind Hams, and we talk about all kinds of geeky radio things on that list. And one day I see this thing from Jed talking about a POC radio that talks, and he included an audio demonstration of it. It's like, oh, this is interesting. I played it, and it's like, okay, I guess I'm buying one of these things. And the rest is history there is from my perspective. And now so far I own two of them, and we'll see what the third one is, because eventually I know there will be. Any of us who are radio geeks know that there's no such thing as too many radios, so it's a matter of time. But yeah, I was just impressed with that. Hearing the brief version of that story that you guys just told, you know, how this conversation happens, and then shortly thereafter, an accessible radio shows up. It's like, whoa, you know, so many times we have this experience where, be it an app, be it a device, be it all kinds of things, and we go to a developer or a company or somebody and say, you know, it'd be nice if you did this and this, and we could be made accessible. And many times we hear the customary, we thank you for your feedback. Well, we want to make our, we appreciate the suggestion. We certainly want to make our products available to as many people. We'll take your suggestion under consideration, and we'll get back. And most of the time you never hear anything again. You know, they just paid lip service to it at the time. And to hear this story, that's what made me feel like, okay, we have to talk to these guys, because this is one of those times that it did not work out that way, and we got success, and what wonderful success it is. So I want to Scott and Will, what are the challenges that are to be overcome when you're trying to make these radios be made accessible?
Here, I'll jump, Will, then I'm going to let you pick it up, because I forgot to mention one of the funny parts about this was the fact that I called Will and I said, "Hey, we've got a problem." He said, "What's that?" And I told him, I said, "This is going to get big fast." And I said, "So you want to, you know," I said, "do you want to take this part over?" And he said, "Okay, I'll do it." And so that's what happened with that. So we work side by side now every day. The hardest part would be, or the most challenging part, getting these radios accessible is the time difference between here and China, which is where most all these radios are produced. The platform is Chinese, you know, so there's a big language barrier between here and there and a time. So my normal day might be a 9-to-5 day, but in order for me to make revisions and the firmware that's going to be accessible on the radio, if it's possible, is I have to stay up till 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning going back and forth, translating English and Chinese back and forth, which many people know is not easy to do. So the biggest barrier is really getting the firmware to work properly and getting the TTS to work on the radios, because not all radios can do TTS. A lot depends on the chipsets. So the biggest challenge for me personally is with accessibility on a radio is the fact of trying to get, you know, the correct firmware and, you know, tweak it out and everything. I'll let Will pick it up from there, because he could tell you about the website. Well, I guess you want to stick with the radio side. So I'll pass it to Will and see what Will thinks with the radios.
Oh, yeah. As far as on the radio portion, the barrier, I think is, you know, obviously Scott handles all the communications from overseas and stuff. So the barriers on my end, it's just knowing, getting to learn the radios to be able to assist the visually impaired. Because, and you have so many radios, and not every radio is equal. So it's kind of remembering what settings are which and stuff, and that's the biggest barrier I've come across.
All righty. And Scott, one question to you, since you're the one who communicates with the folks in China who makes these things. What was their reaction when you first went to them and said, I want you to make this radio accessible? I'm thinking that it probably wasn't anywhere near as smooth as Jed's experience selling it to you. So what was their reaction like? And is it something that they are eager to do just as you are, or is it one of those things that they don't fully understand yet the importance of it?
So the their immediate reaction was why? And I explained to him, I said, because Jed and I talked about this, and I started doing research about how many people are blind in the United States, how many people are blind in the world, and that number was staggering. I was just blown away by that number. So I explained to him, I said, look, there's no accessibility for these radios. And I said, I want to make this happen. I basically told them, I need to make this happen for a friend of mine. And they said, well, what do you need to have done? And I explained to them about TTS, and we need to have them easy buttons to press. We don't want a whole full keypad. We need it simplistic, easy to learn. And I said, we need some proper English text, the best you can do. And like I said, their first question was why? I work with two of my suppliers that are very open in listening about what we need to do. And that's the suppliers that I generally stick with on the accessible radios.
Right. Yeah, it's a sad thing that in a lot of cultures in different parts of the world, their view on disability is not quite as advanced or progressive as here. But does it seem like over time it starts to get easier? Or is it do you get that same reaction? Why every time you ask about every radio?
So honestly, with the two, I have one supplier that's extremely receptive of it, and they'll do whatever needs to be done. Sometimes it does take a little time. My other supplier is starting to work more with me, on accessibility on the radios. And a matter of fact, my one supplier is now, when they sell it to other people, they're selling it with the firmware we created together so that others can purchase the radios or other platforms could start using them for accessibility. So they took what we did, and now their radios are having the firmware on them that we create for accessibility. So it doesn't hurt me, and I don't want to be the only one in the world to do it. I just want to do what I can to help. So my one particular vendor is very receptive and really, really doing a good job.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing when you think about that. And I'm hoping that eventually, as they see the sales of the radio increase, as more of us buy these radios because they're accessible, that maybe it means that in the future the question of why won't be so common. It'll be understood that this is a population that wants to buy these devices, wants to use them, and hey, they're in the business of making money selling these things, so why not do things that include more and more people who can use them? So I do want to sort of have a full disclosure moment because I think it's important to let people know where we are as far as the accessibility of these radios. And I think so far the main limitation that I see with what's offered so far is that the text-to-speech cannot be heard while people are talking. So in other words, it's like a single channel kind of thing, where it's either the text-to-speech that has the control of the speaker, or the people talking on the channel that has control of the speaker. So, Scott, I'm wondering if you could explain that a little bit better and why that is.
Yeah, so when you're doing the so each of the radios has between 18 and 22 files within the firmware file itself. And what happens is when you have audio from these devices, it'll prioritize the audio coming through from the network before it prioritizes the actual radio's TTS audio. That's a firmware limitation that I've questioned and seen if we could do anything about that. Right now, the answer is no, but it's not something that will never happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. But it's a limitation based on the firmware and the radios themselves that it prioritizes the audio coming in from the cellular side. It'll prioritize that over the TTS because the TTS would be secondary in the radio. It wouldn't be that easy just to switch it over because of the limitations of the radio.
Right. And then the other problem would be is because there's so much that shows up on the screen every time there's a change, you'd miss part of what somebody's saying. So I think in the long run, that would probably annoy more people than what we're dealing with now. So there is a workaround, and I just want to make mention of that. And that is, even though somebody's talking on the channel, you can push the buttons, and even though you can't hear the text to speech, announce what you're doing by memorizing button presses, you can certainly move around the radio. And that's what many of us have learned to do, is that while somebody's talking, you push the, like, for example, there's some radios that have a group button, which is really handy because that puts you right in the list of all the talk groups that you can go to. So while someone's talking, you can press that button and you can arrow down to, if you can count, if you remember how many clicks down the group that you want to go to is, you can do that, or you can just click down one to the next one, and chances are that channel will probably not have activity on it. So once you've moved your radio to the channel with no activity, now you've got your full use of TTS again, and you can go and move to the group, or just go browse the list, because it's a quite an extensive list, and we're going to get into that later. So that is the workaround as I know it. Anything you guys want to add to that?
No, that's the perfect workaround, Jed. I think Jed could probably answer that better than I can.
Yeah, like you said, Julian, it's actually pretty once you get in the rhythm of doing it, you kind of learn to, and I and because sometimes, for instance, channel one on the platform can be rather busy. You kind of learn these little tricks of the trade where, okay, you know what? I want to switch talk groups. You can either wait until, there's a pause in the action, or, kind of get in real quick. And if the order of the button push presses, the goal is, if you want to get off that talk group, is just to get out of there, because once you're out of that talk group, you're on easy street at that point. You can go wherever you want. The whole idea is just getting off that channel and switching to wherever, because that's really ultimately what you're trying to do. So, it's just a little bit more challenging when somebody is talking, but you learn over time, some tricks to kind of help you get around that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's what I've done. And in my case, since I have a private, or is it called zero channels, that's the first channel when I click down, that zero channel. So I know for a fact that's my private channel. So when I switch to that one without the guidance of the TTS, because there's talking going on, I know that I'm going to be on a free and clear channel. So that's how I do it. So I just wanted to make that known to people who are listening to this, so that they don't discover it later and say, "Hey, I thought these things were accessible." They are accessible, but they have limitations. But the good thing is that these guys, as you've heard, are very dedicated to the cause, and they're going to keep hammering away at these companies. And eventually, as time goes on, we will eventually have. My optimistic side speaking here, so not making any promises on mine or anybody's behalf, but my optimistic side says eventually we're going to have an accessible radio that doesn't have this limitation, and you better believe I'll be one of the first in line buying it. So good stuff. So let's talk about what radios are currently accessible, because there are three so far, And you'll note, those of you who got the initial meeting announcement, that I only mentioned two radios. And that is because since between the time that I sent that meeting announcement, save the date message, a third has been added to the list of accessible radios. They are the Lucid, was the first accessible radio. Then it was followed by one called the Tank. And then the third to just join the list is called the Summit. So I'm going to briefly describe each radio and have our guests help me to fill in some details as well. The Lucid, as I mentioned, is the first radio that that came out with this accessibility. It's a small radio, very lightweight. And one of the things that's cool about the Lucid is for those who have who are low vision, who have enough usable vision, or heck, even if you use your AI devices like your glasses or even your phone, things like that, and point it at the screen, you can probably get better, more usable information from that screen because it's a bigger screen. So that part is nice. It's got four buttons in the front, which are basically your menu button, your up and down arrow, and your back button, which is also your power button. On the left side of the radio is a push to talk button, and that one is a very nice, large, elongated button, so it's not hard to find. And then below that are your volume up and down buttons. So that's in a sense the Lucid. The Tank is a little bit of a more rugged metal build radio. So that radio is really good, I think, for people who are going to be outdoors a lot, or maybe you're working in construction or something like that, where a radio might get scuffed up a little more, dropped more often. That radio is there's a reason why it's called a tank. It's built like a tank. It has a smaller screen though, but a very punchy speaker. So again, if you like to try to see what's on the screen with your limited vision or use of AI tools, that one's going to be a little more challenging. And I have both these radios so far, and that's been my experience. So that's what I'm basing what I'm saying on. The other cool thing about the Tank is that it has a dedicated group button. So before, when we were talking about switching talk groups while there's activity on the channel you're on the Lucid, you have to push the menu button and then press it again because to activate groups list. On the Tank, no such thing. You just push the group button and you're instantly in that list of groups, and you can use your down button to go to the next one, and there you go. You go to the clear channel, and now you don't have to worry about competing with activity to have full use of your radio. Then there's the Summit, and on that one, I don't know a whole lot about because I have not yet gotten my hands on that one. I'm told it has a volume knob, and that's the thing that's kind of calling my name a little bit because the other radios have buttons on them. I should mention, circling back to the Tank, that on the front of that radio, there's one menu button, and then you have like an up and down sort of rocker switch to the right of the screen. And that's all the buttons on the front. And then on the left side, you got your PTT button, your push to talk, which is a more rounded kind of bubble button that, again, is very distinct and easy to find. And then below that, you've got your group button. And below that, you've got your back slash power button. So that's my description of those. I'm going to send it to these guys and see if they want to add any more to these descriptions, especially the Summit, because that one I know the least about.
So I have.
Okay, so
Oh, sorry, Scott.
oh. Oh, I'm just gonna really quick. If you've got the Tank or the Lucid, it's the same software. So if you're used to the menu system in one, you can get the other and it's the same menu system. Everything is in the same order, which is a big plus. The Summit, I'll give a quick description and let Jed take because he's got one. It's a completely different software. It does have a volume knob, and that knob is your on and off button as well. It's definitely a more commercial radio, and the size of it is similar to the Lucid, but a little bit bigger, but it's not as wide as the Tank. It's a fantastic radio, a little bit different menu system, but there is an audio file on how to use it. And with that, I'm gonna pass it right over to Jed because he likes that radio, and that's a Summit.
Yes, the summit, and it was truly taken to the summit with this one. Yeah, it's awesome. It's got a big, it's got a decent sized display, for those who can see it. But there's a couple that, and honestly, it kind of brings me back to the very first days of POC when I got in, because every radio, basically up to the, up till, fairly recently, had a the very first POC radios I started with actually had a knob on the top which handles on and off. So I was like, oh, this is great, because I was used to that from, the original platform that I started on. So that radio, it just there's a couple little different navigation things about it. The three buttons that are on the bottom, your menu button is in the center. And then you have your left and right arrow, but that menu button, if you hold it, also doubles as a back button. So it takes you back a layer. And it's interesting because it actually says quit, when you do that. So when you go back a layer, it basically says quit. The other thing that it does, which the other radios do not do, is I like this myself. This is, it announces your battery status too. With the there's a button underneath the PTT button which actually tells you what talk group you're in, and it actually tells you your battery status, which is fantastic. So those things alone, and like Scott said, it's a little more beefier of a radio. I just got a second one because why not? And yeah, it's and I think probably the battery life, Scott can talk more about this, but it's probably the best of all of them between the Lucid, the Tank. I mean, the battery life just is awesome on this radio.
Yeah, the battery life is definitely bigger on the Summit. The only thing the Summit is a little bit different is when you enter the menu system, you have to turn the volume up if you're in anything except a very quiet room, because you might have it on your general use, but when you want to go in the menu system, the volume drops by about 50%, maybe 60%. So you do need to turn the volume key up a little bit once you get into the menu system to go through it. It's a little bit different menu system, like I was saying. But all in all, it's a good radio. The one thing I want to clarify is to make sure that the reason there's a setting in there called platform, and I'm just going to put this out there. That setting is it has to stay in the radios because when the radios are sold, they're sold for multi-platform use with the same firmware. So the back end can be used on different back ends can be used on the same radio. So that's not something we could just omit. However, if somebody goes to that and changes it, we have to remotely flash that radio, and it is quite the process to do it. So we want to make sure we keep people away from doing that. That's just a little disclaimer I'll put out there. But other than that, I don't remember if I don't think I sent Will a Summit yet. Will needs a Summit, but he doesn't know much about it except the fact that people love it.
Well, it sounds like I'm going to be needing to get one of these things too, because you guys are selling me. I'm loving it, but okay, so be it. Cost of doing business. Yeah, so this is really neat. And yeah, I want to underscore what Scott just said about that particular setting platform. You want to definitely not go in there. And in general, the thing with these radios is they're designed to be very simple to use. And you really shouldn't need to have to go into any of the settings or anything like that too often. I think if you stay just in your groups menu and use that to go back and forth, you're essentially doing what you bought the radio for, and you're not taking the risk of suddenly finding yourself with a radio that needs to be flashed remotely, which, yeah, I understand that can be quite the ordeal. So,
And really, one more thing, Julian.
yeah.
That's good. Like you were saying, when these radios, when I send them out, they are already preset. All the settings are already set. And so when somebody takes them, as you found out, and Jed, when you open that box and turn it on, it's ready to go in channel one. You don't need to change any settings, except for volume. So that's how they're all set. And all of them that get sent out will get sent out with the belt clips already attached. That's two things.
Oh, very nice. One quick question I had about that. I was curious. Do they all come with the speech enabled, or do you guys enable that ahead of time when you know that it's a blind person buying it?
So by default, the speech for the radio speech and the actual TTS is turned off. Even if you were to buy certain radios, the TTS is generally off, but the platform speech is on. So it'll speak to you very minimal things. So, what room you're in and what your username is, but it won't say like the menu information. So yeah, that is something that we turn on. I turn all the TTS stuff on. Especially if it's a Lucid or a Tank, I turn it on. If somebody is sighted, they can go into the settings and see what they're doing to turn it off. But I want to make sure that when that radio arrives to anybody who's blind, that they can open that box and use it right off the bat.
Well, on behalf of all blind people that buy this radio, I want to give you a big thank you because, yes, I appreciate that. So many times that's part of a thing was we have to figure out how to enable accessibility in something that we bought. And our phones have gotten really good about that, giving us a gesture that we can use. But these radios, obviously, you would need sighted help to do this. So I appreciate that you guys take the time to do that and make sure that we get a radio that works. The other curiosity question I had for you, since we're on the topic of radios, is how do you guys come up with the names for these radios?
Oh, that's a good question. Some of that has to do with Will. Will and I will bounce names off of each other, or Jed and myself. It's just, when people are talking, the names just happen to come up, and I'll go look at the definition of what that word means, and lo and behold, that's what the radio ends up becoming. The Summit was a little bit different. We did a poll on it, and we basically took a poll on it and decided, okay, what is this radio name going to be? And the winner actually won the first Summit off the line. So that was actually by user. But the Tank and the Lucid were just names I just happened to come up with and just fit the radio.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I see how the Tank got its name. That's real easy. I was just curious how you did it with the other ones. So very cool. So I think we kind of talked about it in general, but I'll just say it again. Your plan for accessibility for future radios, that's definitely an ongoing thing. You guys are going to remain committed to that process.
Yes, 100%. The radios, a matter of fact, I've got another one that just came in today. I'm working on firmware on it. That'll be our fourth accessible radio that we'll be releasing. I don't know how accessible it'll be, but it'll be able to be used by anybody who needs accessibility. Going forward, not just with the radios, but with everything else that we do, which we'll get into that on the next part. But we're committed to accessibility and to expanding our horizons and understanding of how, the needs of the people that have a POC radio, and things that we could do better or different or omit. So we're committed long term. This isn't just a one-time thing, where tomorrow it is what it is. No, I mean tomorrow we're hopefully have more. So we're committed long term.
All right. So, note to self: after I buy Summit, they're going to come up with another accessible radio. Prepare. Okay, got it. All right. So, this is definitely a very informative section here. So, I'm going to go ahead and open up to a brief Q&A for things that were discussed in the session. Particularly about how the accessibility barrier was broken. And about these radios and the like. So, again, if you have a question, please either raise your hand or state your name and wait to be acknowledged, and we'll get you on.
Andy Baracco has raised his
Okay, Andy Baracco has a question. Go ahead.
two questions, really. I'm a big documentation guy, so my first question is there accessible documentation like a Microsoft Word file or something like that? And the second question is, of course, the obvious one, pricing.
Okay, so I'll answer both of those. As for documentation, Jed and Matt are excellent with this. Every radio, when we put it out, I make sure that one of them has it prior to releasing it. And what they do is they make an audio file instructions on each of the radios, which is posted on our website. We have a web page specifically for accessibility. So if you went to the website on mobile or you went to it on desktop, the manuals are done in voice by either Jed or Matt. So there are I believe they're MP3, correct me if I'm wrong, Jed, but there are accessible videos to listen to that will teach you and walk you through each of the radios that are accessible. And part two to that pricing, I can't remember what – I know that the Lucid and the Tank are both $149.99. That comes with a lifetime platform fee, which means the radio works on our platform, which we'll discuss later. But that also gives you 1 year of service on the device for using it. The second year, third, fourth year is $20 a year. That's your only yearly cost you have is for that SIM card for $20 a year.
And I want to add that these guys periodically have sales. In fact, they just had one very recently.
Oh, yeah.
A one-day sale where they sold everything that you bought at 20% off. And that included the extended SIM card. So I usually try to time my purchases to that because you save money not just on the radio, but on the SIM card. I like to get the three-year ones just because I know that I'm not going to have to think about it for a while. So it's something to look at. I also want to point out, as was mentioned, that these audio tutorials are done by people who are blind.
Yep.
Jed, as well as Matt, who was mentioned, they do these. So you're getting the tutorial from the perspective of the blind user. So it's all non-visual. You're never going to hear look here and click here or point to that. You're never going to hear that in these tutorials.
One of the things I was just going to mention, Julian, about documentation.
Yeah.
I think the main reason why I haven't done documentation is, to be quite honest with you, it's going to take me longer to write it than explain it. Because the reality is with these radios, there's really not a lot of, I could walk through that Lucid and describe the menus and demonstrate them quicker than, you know, I could type in up a file. So doesn't mean I can't do it, but in all honesty, it's actually easier because, you know, you can follow right along, you know, and when I've done a tutorial, I've actually had, you know, sounds of the TTS and the radio. You know, usually I end up doing it with the iPhone just so I can do that easier. But that way it kind of gives you a hands-on demo of, how this thing is working, you know, front and center on a daily basis. Because the reality is with these radios, you know, Simple PTT lives up to its name. They are simple. There's not much to it. I mean, you select the talk group and you go there. And other things in that radio, other than initial setup, you know, maybe a setting or two, you really don't need to change any of that stuff. And it's about as simple as it gets. And that's why I've done, you know, and we'll probably continue to do the audio tutorial, because it gives you, you know, kind of a first, you know, firsthand look, you know, if that makes sense.
Rocker.
Yeah, it does. And I would say that, you know, nowadays with AI, I bet you could take that audio file and dump it into like Gemini or something like that and get it to give you a written summary of everything discussed. So that's another option that one would consider if you don't like learning from audio tutorials. So Andy, did that answer your question? Okay, I'm going to assume it did. So thank you, Andy, for that. Okay. Robert. And then was there somebody else with a question?
Robert,
go ahead, Robert.
Thanks. So two quick questions for me. One, I did not hear you mention what the price was at the summit. Since my birthday is coming up next week, I was thinking of a present to myself. And the other thing is if I understood correctly, you mentioned the summit has a display on the front. Can that be turned off since I'm totally blind?
Okay, so on the summit, the Summit, the Lucid, and the Tank, they're all $149.99. including the first year of service. You can add up to 3 years of service on them for a little bit more. You save a couple dollars by doing that. Is for turning the display completely off on the Summit. I know you can do it on the Tank and the Lucid. I haven't tried to turn the screen off completely on the Summit. Maybe Jed could jump in there and he could try it really quick and see if that's an option.
I think I did it actually. Either that or I lowered it down. I can't remember what I did. I thought
the one thing I have to wonder about that though, if I just, because I think at least on the radios that I have, the screen seems to be tied to when the radio's awake, because I think it's a battery saving feature. It doesn't. I'm wondering if you turn off that screen quickly or entirely, it may result in having to push a button, like a button first to wake it up and then do stuff.
I was just thinking of a battery saver, because like if you think of the iPhone, if you turn the screen brightness off, or you know, the screen curtain on, it saves your battery life. And so I guess I was just thinking of a battery saver, since I can't see it.
I think I lowered it down. I think I lowered it down to the lowest it could go, which means it's not completely off, but you know, it gives just enough where, you know, the other side of that too is the other reason why I haven't turned it completely off is because if somebody, for whatever awkward reason, needs to look at the display, you know, they can at least see something. But the reality is on these radios, the battery life is so darn good. Unless you're yapping all day on the radio, you're going to get a few days about it. You're going to get a few days out of a radio. That's just the way these things are. You know, I mean, you know, I'll get 2-3 days, and that's leaving it on 24/7. You know, that's
Jed. And to go to, I just tried it. You could turn the screensaver. You could turn the battery saver on, like you said, but you could actually turn the screen down to 10 seconds for it to stay on and go off. But if you turn the brightness all the way down, it's pretty dark. And you'll probably get 4 or 5 days out of that without any issue at all.
Oh, okay. That's perfect. Good to know. Cause that's one way that you could still have your functionality and save your battery. The other thing too, is you got to remember these displays are not what's on your iPhone. These are not high powered displays with all these pixels and all this stuff going on that we have with our iPhone displays. They're not looking for touch input or anything like that. So, like if you remember the old Nokia phones that we had before we had iPhones, those were not touch screens, and the battery life was phenomenal. And that was part of the reason is that the screen wasn't looking for touch, and it wasn't didn't have as much going on as the today's smartphone screens do.
All right, I'll listen to the rest. Great, thank you.
All right, thanks, Robert. All right, anybody else with any? Mary Lou, go ahead. Mary Lou, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I want to unmute.
There you go. Go ahead.
Okay. I was curious what type of groups are on your chat line there, and as well, what other things can you do with this phone?
Hang on. Before we get to that, that's going to be coming up in the next section.
Okay.
So again, this is for questions about how the barrier got broken and the radios themselves. We're in the upcoming section here, after we're done with this Q&A, we're going to get right into the nitty-gritty of what Simple PTT offers. So stand by for that one. Did you have any questions related to the stuff that they just got discussing now?
I'm sorry, no.
No, it's okay. No, it's all good. Okay. I just want to make sure. All right, thank you. Stand by. We're going to get to that.
Okay.
Okay, I'll take one more attempt at questions here, and then we'll move to that section. Not hearing anything, then we will move to it. So what does Simple PTT offer? It is, and again, these are just my impressions of it. The guests here can chime in and add to it as they like. I think it's a vibrant, family-oriented, and inclusive community. It's a platform that, as mentioned before, is very well moderated. So the idea is to keep things clean, family-friendly, and positive. Not to have any craziness go on like you might see in other places. So these guys really do a bang up job at keeping this just a fun place to be and to socialize. There are many public channels, I think, what, like 30 of them at least that I count. And they're based on dedicated topics and interests, and it's something that changes dynamically. It's all based on the interest of the community and feedback that they get. So they add things and change things as it goes along. So it's constantly evolving. There's a variety of nets, as we call them on ham radio, but really they are just discussions similar to what we're doing here, but just on a two-way radio. And there's all kinds of topics, and there's one especially called the Transparency Net, which is really cool because that's where you really learn everything that's going on with Simple PTT. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything. It's all there up for discussion. They like to keep us informed as to what's going on since we are the community that uses it. They also have lots of cool games. Like, for example, they have a game called 20 Questions, which is a lot of fun to play on the radio. It's a great game for the platform, and we've been enjoying that tremendously. And they do karaoke. They've got all kinds of things. They got prayer channels. You name it. There's all kinds of discussions as nets almost every day of the week for a different topic. So there's no shortage of things to get involved in and to talk to other people with similar interests. There's also the ability to set up private channels for two or more radios. And that's great for really anybody who can benefit from two-way radio quick communications. So for personal type of communications, family, friends, etc., it's also great for community groups, churches, activity groups, neighborhood watch, any of that stuff, anything that could benefit from two-way reliable communication ability, but it'd be on a private channel, which means that only the people who are invited to that channel see it and have access to it. It's also great for businesses, for transportation, stores, warehouses, you name it. I'm just sort of giving a few examples here. I'm sure there are many more that I haven't thought of. So I'll ask you guys, the guests, what are other examples of things that people are using these channels for?
Oh, okay. There's a bunch. I'll put some in here. So usage wise, I guess I'll explain kind of, you covered quite a bit there. The zero channels are private. We also have a VIP ladies channel, which we set up because sometimes, POC doesn't have a lot of women. That's just a fact. We have quite a few. So one thing we have is totally free. You just request it when you get your radio, and there's a VIP zero channel basically that's private just for women. So there is that. You explain the nets and roundtables pretty much every night during the week. There's something, whether your interest is, prepping or games or every day, every morning they have a prayer meeting. They've got Bible study and prayer requests. We've got what's called an old timers net. Pastor B goes over some really great information about retirement and stuff like that. There's a whole schedule on our website that really tells everything, and our Discord has everything, which I'll let Will explain that. But yeah, we've got I think 33 channels. The channels are, channel one obviously is very busy. Channel three and channel four is dedicated for blind. So there's a lot of topics that we may not understand as sighted people. Channel three is the main channel for blind, and channel four is the backup. Channel one is for obviously everybody. Channel two is a backup to channel one in case it's very busy, which it does get busy quite often. So there is always something to do, and we built everything on community. And that's where so many nets and roundtables come in. So specific to that, we do offer private networks, which means you're not part of the public side, you're only on private. Firefighters, EMS, security, mall security, bus drivers, tow truck companies, plumbing companies, all that stuff, they're usually on private. But zero channels are very popular. I will say one of the things we're dedicated to is your privacy. Let me explain. A lot of companies have too many, well, a lot of people are involved with the backside of the platform. So the only ones that have access to the backside of the platform is myself and Will. That's it. So we do not store anything except your name, your email, and your phone number. We don't store your address. We don't store any personal information. The only thing on the back end is those three things, because if we need to get a hold of you for something or send you information, we can do that. Nobody else sees that except Will and I. So we highly, highly respect the privacy of the users. So I think that covered that, unless somebody wants to, Will or Jen wants to add something to the platform side.
And just to add to the about the you know, the zero channels or the private channels, I mean, those are really, really good. They're a great thing to have. I have a couple with a couple groups that I'm involved in, and I'm expanding that a little bit. So, you know, when you get one of these radios, you kind of have the best of both worlds. You can play to your heart's content on the public side, but then when you want to go off and do something, you know, with a bunch of your friends, you know, you have that option as well. And, you know, one thing I was going to mention about zero channels is if you start a zero channel, okay, zero channel, private channel, same concept, only the radios that you want, that you send to Will or Scott will go in that will go in that zero channel. So just because the zero channel's in your radio does not mean that the whole world gets it. You know, I've got, you know, my channel, certain radios go in them, and that's it. So that's how that goes.
Yeah, it's I make use of those private channels. They're also handy. Like, let's say you have somebody who helps you run errands and things like that, and you might have a thing where, you know, they drop you off because there's no parking right in front of the door. So you're going to go in and run your errand, and then when you're done, you know, you need to let them know, hey, okay, I'm done. Come back to the front, pick me up. That's a great use of a private channel. So, you know, if you do that kind of thing often, I think it works very well.
We also have monitoring, Julian. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Basically, if you have your radio on, you could have your monitoring turned on by us, and you could monitor your private channel. So what that means is, let's say you're in channel one, just having a good time or whatever. But as long as nobody's talking in channel one, if somebody talks in your private zero channel, you'll hear it while you're in channel one or anywhere else on the radio. So you have the option to turn that on per radio. So if you want to listen to your private group while you're in a public channel, you can do that.
Oh, I did not know that. I think I'll be contacting you guys after this to set me up with that. That is very cool. Another thing I wanted to mention, one of the channels that I mentioned earlier that they change dynamically, we have a channel 15, which is used for events. So, for example, channel 15 has been set up for the ACB convention, which is coming up, which leads me to my next question. And that is that I heard that, Scott, you're going to the ACB convention. So, so wanted to have you talk about that, if you like, particularly, you know, are you going to be bringing any radios there to show and sell or whatever?
So, yes, I will be at the ACB at the bits table. We actually got invited to set up there. We will be there. I'll be there on the 26th on Sunday and the 27th on Monday. I am bringing all three. Well, I should be bringing all three radios, and I will be able to let people go ahead and test those radios, ask for a radio check to see where people are from and how it sounds, how to use it, hands-on, basically, each one. I don't know how many radios I'll be able to bring. I've ordered them, but I don't know how quick I'm going to get them from the slow boat. So if I don't, I will have my laptop there. So if people do want to order them, I could walk them through step by step and get them ordered for them. So each night that I go back, I can go ahead and get those orders in. So we will be there, and we will be demoing the radios and letting everybody else go ahead and test the radios out too.
Oh, that's very cool. So yeah, anybody who's going to ACB shortly, that's one way to get some hands-on with these radios and meet these wonderful people that bring this to us. So this is awesome. And I just have to ask, since I mentioned earlier about sales, wondering if you guys have any upcoming promotions or sales coming up that BBB members should look out for that you know, might be able to take advantage of.
So I don't know how much I could say, but I know there's going to be a small, well, if anybody who's a, I guess, a Bits member, I'm fairly new to this, so forgive me. There'll be discounted, you know, small discounts on radios. If you go through them, they'll get you a code and all that. However, I am looking to do a site-wide sale again towards the end of the month when I get back from Bits. There will be a site-wide sale. I might even do it during Bits. And I know that went through pretty big on the last time. So there's a good chance I'll be doing that in the next 2 weeks. There'll be one more site-wide sale.
Ooh, all right. Summit of my future. Sounds like fun.
And understand, sometimes these radios don't ship the next day because I run out of them so fast that, you know, I can only order so many at a time without, you know, getting hit with imports and big tariffs. So sometimes there is a little bit of a wait before they ship, but I promise they'll go out as soon as I get them.
All right. Well, that sounds good. And you know what? Good things come to those who wait. The important thing is that we get on and get our hands on them. So good stuff. All right. So that's all the questions that I had. I want to see if anybody has any questions. Any questions for this section here? So again, I think I got two hands at a raise.
Oh, okay. And then hold on, Robert, hold on. Without her. Yeah.
Okay, hang on, Robert.
Yeah, no worries.
The first.
Bob Acosta, go ahead.
You guys are fabulous. I'm really proud of you listening to this company. But the thing I'd like to know, number one, is your website and contact. How do we get in touch with you if you want to buy radio?
So the easiest way to do it is you could go right to simplePTT.com on mobile or on a desktop or a, you know, like a tablet or something. The website is accessible as we're able to get it. But we are, you know, we have people that tell us if we miss something. But you can go on there and you could go to the shop or you can go to the accessibility page. And when you go to that page, the specific accessible radios are listed on that page. So you can do that.
And if I'm not mistaken, that direct link to that is simplePTT.com/visual.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. So, Bob, that's where you're going to want to go to, because on there you'll see only the radios that we talked about here that are accessible. I mean, they sell a lot of cool other radios too, but unfortunately those radios don't have the accessibility. Going to this site, you'll not only see the ones that we've talked about, but you can also access the tutorials that were mentioned earlier. So
that's what I'll need. Thank you.
if you're thinking about buying one, you can listen to all the tutorials and make a decision, a smart, you know, an informed decision.
Thank you so much.
There is six tutorials on there.
Okay.
There's also two different PDFs for the Lucid in the Tank, and the links for the three accessible radios are on that page as well. And there's a direct link for Matt or Jed's email below that. So pretty much everything you need is right there.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff. And then we'll go to Robert.
All right. Thanks, Julian. So my question is, in no way of critiquing anything, because I mean, you guys are doing a great job and I appreciate you. But you mentioned that there was a way, just some nuts. sorry about that, but let me mute for a second. Sorry about that. You mentioned that there's a way that, Julian could have you guys turn on the feature so that he could hear his private channel when he's on the main channel. And I guess I'm just wondering why those types of features have to be turned on by you guys and not something that we could do ourselves. Just have a limitation of the accessibility. I guess, and are there other features that we might want turned on that we can't get to?
Sure. So each platform has its limitations. So Zen is the owner of Global PTT, which is what we use. But the platforms ultimately, you know, there's 100 companies plus out there that use the same backend platform. Why the monitoring mode? So the monitoring mode can only be turned on the back end of the platform, which only two of us have that login, obviously for privacy. It's just a limitation of the platform. Now, there's other companies that have proprietary software, proprietary backends that you can control some of your own stuff. But on this one specifically, it's just something that we have to do on our end. We can enable it or disable it. So that's not a feature that's for the public. That's only on this platform. It's only available for, you know, for the backend users to adjust that.
Yeah. So if I could help clarify that a little bit, because this is not a feature that's a radio feature, unlike our ham radios where we can turn on priority channels and things like that ourselves, this is a feature that's turned on the back end. So it's not the radio end. So when he, for example, sets you up with a private channel, you know, you fill out a form and you have to put in the info of all the radios that you want added to that private channel when you submit the application. And then they do it on their end. And then once they do, that zero channel shows up on your list. It's the very first one. So it's above channel one now when you have a zero channel like that. So I suspect it's the same thing with this priority watch kind of thing. It's like it's similar to what we have on our radios, but because it's turned on and off at the back end, that's why I suspect you have to contact them for it.
Yeah, and one thing too, Julian, if you're on a private network, meaning you're not on the public side, and you want to set up a private network, then you'll have login access where you can create your own channels, change your radio names that are on your private network. You can also turn on and off monitoring mode. So you get certain features, but you won't have any of the public channels. And logging into the back end is tricky because some of you guys know there's a slider. When you log in, you have to have that puzzle piece and slide it over to log in. And you guys know that's a pain. There's no audio for that. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, people want to add somebody to their private group. And, you know, there is a spot where you pay $5, $10, whatever it is. But the thing is, a lot of times, if you just reach out to Will or I and you want to add, you know, your son or daughter that just bought a radio, you know, just reach out to us by email. And we generally will take care of you. So
now that's going to be my other question.
Yeah, not everything. We, you know, we have to put a price for general public.
Yeah, I got
but
you.
There's exceptions, and we definitely try to look out for anybody that's visually impaired. We'll try to help you out.
Oh, I appreciate it. No, I wasn't meaning anything by it. I just was wondering why, you know, you had to go through you. But it makes sense. Sounds similar to a capture issue, you know, like, you got to be able to see it or, you know, be able to do certain things. So I appreciate that information. So thank you.
That's for really sure. Cool. All right. And then was there another hand raised? Mary Lou, go ahead. I know you had a question about this kind of thing before, so go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay. I was wondering, so could technically this is like private radio and only the people who have this other device, these devices can talk to each other, and it's not open like an iPhone, like WhatsApp or any of the other chat groups.
No. So, okay. So on our platform, we've got about 1,650 public users. So that means in those 33 channels at any given time, there could be, you know, 20 people in a channel, and there could be, you know, a couple hundred people in a channel. So it is a public network, but you have to sign up for it. Okay. You don't necessarily have to have a radio. You could purchase a phone app as well if you want to test it out and see what we're about first before you purchase a radio.
I see. That's what I was wondering. Now, when you do the app, is there a fee for the app?
There is. The application for iPhone or Android, the license is $20. There's no additional cost. So if you like the phone and you want to stay on that phone for, you know, 5-10 years on our platform, it's $20 one time. You never pay another penny. If you go to a radio, well, now you've got it on the phone and the radio. But yeah, it's $20 one time, and that'll give you the 33 channels. You know, that'll give you your round tables and nets, and you can pay a little extra to have a zero channel on there. So, and a lot of people do that because they're a little, they want to know what we're about and what we offer before they go to purchase a radio. And that's perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks, Mary Lou. Okay. Do we have any other questions, or just in general, let's just make a general Q&A here. Anybody have any questions about anything that was discussed here today?
I was going to make a comment about the, if it's okay,
ahead,
about the, a couple quick things. The, regarding the phone app, I have the phone app. It is very accessible on the iPhone and on the Android. You know, the main reason, in to be brutally honest, why I have it is mainly as a backup. You know, if I leave home without a radio, which those of you who know me, never happens, you know, but it's, but you know, it has been one of those things where I've left home with a radio and oops, battery died or whatever. It's very rare, but it's also, you know, a great extra. You know, if I'm, you know, it's very common for me to have two radios on, or at least two radios, because, you know, why not? You might as well dedicate one to, you know, the important talk groups you want to monitor. But, and the phone app kind of fills in that void as well. The other thing I was going to mention, you know, about the back end of things that Scott was talking about, one of the major reasons why that's, you know, kind of, off limits is because there's a lot of, to give you guys a little bit of a history of the back end of POC in general, there's a lot of things that happen on that back end. And if you are not careful, you will take down an entire system. You know, because I've had people ask me, you know, why isn't there access on the back, on the back end where we can change radio names and things like that. And to be brutally honest, it's more of the fact that there's a lot of delicate stuff on the back end, like SIM cards are handled back there, IMEI IDs. You know, you can take down a whole system with one click. And, you know, to have to rebuild that, you know, and Scott can elaborate on that, but having worked on the back end of POC for a long time on, you know, other platforms, you got to be careful. I mean, it's not overly complicated if you know what you're doing, but you can make a mess of things pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way to think about this is it's a network. So it's not a direct radio to radio communication like what you have in, you know, stuff that goes actually over the air, you know, ham radio, FRS, GMRS, things like that. This is actually, you know, relying on infrastructure. And because of that, it works a little differently than what we may be used to if our only experience is with our RF only devices.
Ron here.
The reality is with these radios, the actual radio itself, it's data. Okay, it's data with a vocoder and a SIM card. I mean, that's really all it is at the end of the day. You know, all of it and the rest of it, you know, group assignments and things like that, that all happens on the back end. But as far as your physical radio, you can't get any simpler. It's data and a vocoder. I mean, there's not, that's really, you know, all it is to it.
And that's the beauty of it and the simplicity of it. I heard Ron there with a, Ron Smith, go ahead.
Yeah, two questions. One, is the battery user replaceable? And number two, is it at least water resistant? It probably isn't waterproof, but at least supposedly my iPhone can, I don't know, go down to 3 meters or 30 minutes or whatever. I forgot what it said on there, but, you know, in case I should fall in the pool like I have with my Victor Stream in the past, and I was able to dry that out and get it working again. So, in fact, it happened a couple times.
Well, I would say that the most water resistant one would be the tank. That seals up really good. As for the other two, I would say this, going back to the days where cell phones had replaceable batteries, I would say it's about as water resistant as those. So you don't want to soak it in water and drop it in the water. Definitely not. There's only two or three radios out there that are completely waterproof, but they're not accessible. You know, accessibility on these radios is very limited. So that is something that I'll look into, you know, going forward. If we could come up with a radio that's 100% waterproof and accessible, that'd be tricky, but I'll work on it. Definitely. What was your second question?
User replaceable batteries.
So yes, I am able to get the batteries. I don't put them on the website, and here's why. In the last year and a half, we've never had to replace a battery. So that's a good track record. But if we have to, then yes, we can get a battery, and I would special order it. I don't overcharge, so whatever my cost is would be what I would carry over to the consumer by an invoice.
Do you have to unscrew the case and all that stuff to get into it, or what?
So the tank, you would have to take the top screw off. On the Lucid and the Summit, that's just a pop-off back, and the whole back of the radio is basically the battery.
Oh, okay.
And just to give experience, because I've actually done it, I've taken the screwdriver and removed the battery from the Lucid because I wanted to get to the SIM card for something. So, yeah, it's very doable. It's not hard to do at all, but it does, you know, mean that when you put it on right, it's nice and secure. And I would suggest, I heard somebody just the other day doing this on one of the channels. She was in a pool.
Oh, so the bag. Yeah.
Yeah, she put a radio in a Ziploc bag. And
it worked.
It worked.
That was funny. One other comment about the batteries too. Two quick things. First of all, they're all the radios are USB. Well, with the exception of the dual banders, but you guys don't have to worry about those. All these radios that we've talked about, they all charge by USB-C. So for anybody worried about that, they all charge by USB-C. The big thing with these, and Scott can elaborate a little bit more, when you charge them, either use the brick that came with them, or make sure you use a USB-C to A cable. That is the most reliable way to charge, instead of a USB to USB-C cable. I've got several on my desk because there's always something charging, fact of life. USB-C to USB-A is definitely the more, and you'll notice when you get any of these radios, that's what they come with. You'll never see it with a USB-C to USB-C cable.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I have UC to C, but would I recommend it? No. The good thing is, if you buy, let's say you buy a Lucid, the charger for the Lucid will work fine for the Summit and the Tank too. They're 5-volt blocks with a standard USB, cable for charging. So you could use one radio cable that comes with from our radios. You could use with all the radios. But I would definitely not recommend trying to put a high voltage block that's not a regulated block to down the voltage or the wattage, you know, to the radio. So I would say that would be the safest bet, definitely. And one of the things too, Julian, with the radios is, we're very consistent with trying to keep the best pricing on the market of the radios that we sell, especially being accessible and, you know, coming with the SIM cards and all that, you know, and if people leave to go somewhere else, we don't lock a SIM card. We don't, you know, fry it, what they call frying it, turn it off. You know, you're free to leave whatever you want, take it wherever you want. You own the radio. So that's one thing in particular that, you know, we really focus on trying to give, you know, some good budget pricing on the radios.
Yeah. So in other words, unlike some cell phone companies, these guys don't lock the devices. If you decide that you bought the radio and the platform isn't your cup of tea, there are others you can use it on, and they don't stop you from leaving.
Nope. And you can keep the SIM card for the remainder of the time.
Robert.
Go ahead, Robert.
What I search for in the iOS App Store if I wanted to get started before the Summit goes on sale?
Well, if the Summit goes on sale, we'll put it out over Discord and Facebook, and it'll usually be on the main page of our website. And if you want access to the Facebook and Discord, you could go to the website, and there's links for both of them to join it. But the sales, we make sure that we blast it out everywhere. So you'll know as soon as there's a sale, and there will be a link with the flyer. So there'll be a flyer, and there'll be alt text And when you click the flyer, that'll take you directly to the purchasing page.
I think he was referring maybe to
the
that,
app.
But also the app itself.
Yeah.
The app is actually, there is not that you want to download the Global PTT app. Okay. That's
Correct.
That's
okay.
That's what you want to download. Simple
Global
PTT,
PTT.
It's, yeah, that's the one. Yep.
Gotcha.
Because it uses the same back end infrastructure as Global PTT. So
and what's the Facebook page to friend?
Did Greg come down?
And then you'll have to just purchase the phone app license from either your phone or the desktop computer. On the mobile, it's a link by itself on an icon. If you go on the desktop computer on the website, it's under services and add-ons. And then on the lower left side, down the center, it'll be phone app access license. And you just click on that, fill it out, and then will actually provision you a license to log into the app that Jed just told you to download.
Okay. And your Facebook page.
Got a thought on that. Could you put that on? Did you put that on the accessibility page?
A link for it?
Yeah.
No.
To purchase the license? No. Just a thought. It might not be a bad idea.
If Will is on here, Will, if you're on here, that would be a good idea if you want to drop a link for that.
I was already thinking about that earlier. That was one thing that felt like was missing on that. And yeah, I thought about that, doing that. And I'm going to do it probably later on this evening.
Perfect. Perfect. And then also, just so everybody knows, Will is, he's fully in charge of pretty much all the social media stuff. And a lot, we both do the back end of the platform stuff. But when it comes to social media, like Discord, Facebook, and all that, definitely reach out to Will if you've got ideas or questions or comments. He would definitely be the person to reach out to on that.
All right. And one thing I do want to say, just again, full disclosure kind of thing. I noticed that at least on my iPhone, when I played with that app, because I put it on my phone thinking, well, I'll try it while I waited for the radio. But I noticed it did some funny Bluetooth things to me, and I use Meta glasses and things like that regularly. So if you play with this app and you use these other devices as well, I think it has something to do with the way it routes audio. If you notice some funny behavior with your Bluetooth things like your glasses, don't think all of a sudden your glasses or something are broken. It's something about that app and the way that it does audio. So yeah, when you're running that app, you may notice some strange Bluetooth behavior.
And if you're on Android, you got to make sure if you want to turn it off, force close it. Otherwise, it'll run in the background and it will scare you out of your sleep.
Oh, man. Not good. PTT nightmares. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Do we have any other questions or anything like that before we wrap this up? No raised hands, nothing. So I guess we covered it. So I want to thank you guys, Will, Scott, and Jed for coming on here and giving us such an informative discussion, especially sharing that blindness barrier breaking story that has led to these accessible radios that I know I've certainly been enjoying a lot of. And hopefully some of you are going to get in on this with us and join us. Maybe, who knows, if we get enough of us there, we can get some BBB discussions starting there kind of impromptu, you know, never know. So a lot of possibilities here, and I appreciate you guys sharing all of this with us. Do you guys want to give any contact info in case somebody wants to reach out to you guys?
Yeah, if anybody goes to the website, thesimplept.com, go to the accessibility page, and there's a direct link for, I think, Will and Matt. Jed, I think you need to get... Yeah, we'll get Will, if you want to get Jed's on, that'd be great too. But yeah, you can, the emails are also on the main website on the footer of the page. You could click on the link to email us any questions you have. Or if you need to conversate with us and talk to us about something or how to order something, if you're, you know, if you're lost in it, you could reach out and just ask for a call and we'll give you a call back and talk to you about whatever you need to talk to.
Awesome. And again, that website is www.simplept.com/visual. simplept.com/visual. That's the page you want to go to. That's where you're going to get all the information on these radios that we talked about. That's where you're going to get access to the tutorials. And that's where you'll have some contact info access if you want to reach out to the admins that are on there that are both blind and have made these tutorials and learn more about things in general. What I will do is as soon as I find out about the sale that is being had at the end of the month, I will go ahead and send something out to everybody on my BBB followers list with the info on that sale. So that way you guys will know about it. If you don't find them on Facebook or Discord or anything like that, I'll cover it here. I'll send an email out to the group with that info, and hopefully that'll help get some people on board here.
Ron, so, again.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Thank you. You answered that question for me, but I just wanted to know if they had like a general mailing list at all that people can subscribe to, because I don't do Facebook or Discord. So I'm glad you're going to do mail it out to the list when there's a sale.
So we don't have any type of a mailing list like that, but we are extremely active on the website. So basically anything that comes out, especially sales or, you know, some changes we make or whatever, on the website, on the mobile or desktop, we're constantly changing out the flyers on there that have information. So, you know, that's probably the easiest way to stay informed, especially of any sales.
Yeah, so check it regularly. And, you know, the other reason why a mailing list isn't so needed here is that once you're on the platform, Channel One is the place to go. That's where you go to find out everything that's going on. So I've always got a radio listening to Channel One. And every time when these little flash sales are announced or any changes like that, a new radio gets announced, that's usually where it's talked about first. So
I know, but like I hear there's like sometimes there's only like a 1 day sale or 12 hour sale or something.
Yeah. So yeah, like in this case, in this particular instance, I will send out the one for the end of the month when they have it. But yeah, moving forward, then yeah, you know, if you're wanting to stay interested in it, I would recommend taking his suggestion and going to their website and just, you know, take a look at it every day, refresh it a few times if need be, because you never know.
Most of your flash sales are generally just out of the blue, and they're talked about on Channel One. So most of the time, we don't actually put those out there for general public. That's usually something we throw out there on Channel One. If we notice it's really busy on Channel One, we'll throw out a flash sale. The other thing too is, and I'm not saying for everybody, but we happen to give out a lot of radios. So on our nets and roundtables or a random check-in, we give out on average, you know, 5, 6, 7 radios every month. So you never know what's going to happen once you're on the platform.
Yep. That's one way to keep up with it. All right. So, again, thank you guys for coming and sharing all of this with us. I want to thank all of you who are attending here and who participated, gave your questions and comments. I want to also thank those of you who are listening after the fact. If you're listening at home to the podcast, thank you for listening. I always welcome feedback and suggestions for future discussion topics or guest speakers. I think this went really well, and I'd like to do more of it. So, any questions, anything like that, somebody wants to reach out to me, you can use my contact info. help@techjv.com is my email address. My website is www.techjv.com. And get a hold of me. Give me your suggestion. Would like to do that. So again, I'll just repeat my contact info again. I'm Julian Vargas. My website, www.techjv.com. Email address, the word help@techjv.com, and phone number 818-794-9554. So thank you all for participating, listening, and all that good stuff. And remember to just keep on breaking those barriers that get in the way of living the life that you want, whether they be blindness barriers or any other kind of barriers. Don't let barriers keep you from doing what you want to do and live the life you want. So thank you all again, and see you in the next meeting.